If you'll pardon my sore throat, we'll begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of June 18th, 2005, this is the Rain Report, amateur radio's audio feature magazine of the internet. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK. One of the highlights of the Dayton Hamvention is the FCC Forum. We have already brought you two excerpts from a talk by William Cross, W3TN. This week we conclude our second excerpt from a talk by FCC enforcement attorney Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH.
The world is ugly enough as it is. You don't have to add to the ugliness. Use the VFO. If we wanted you all on the same frequency, Bill would have assigned you one channel in the first place. Use the VFO. And I hear complaints about some frequencies, and I even get calls at night. 11 o'clock the other night. Can you get on 3938 and tell so-and-so that he shouldn't be selling a 5,000-watt amplifier to somebody without a license? This really happened 11 o'clock the other night. I can't help you in those cases because I can't change mentality. I can't change personality. Just use the VFO and go somewhere else. Realize what you have and appreciate it. That's the one thing I wish I could hear of and see a lot more on the amateur bands. You've got to just enjoy amateur radio and appreciate what you have. Jim Haney tells a story of going to Guatemala. The people there very proudly showed him a radio lab in their school to teach amateur radio. They didn't even have a volt-ohm meter because they couldn't afford it. And those are almost disposable items for us. But they didn't even have a volt-ohm meter. And so we've got to realize what we have and what we must sound like to these other people that see us as fabulously wealthy, whether we think we are or not. And this is important because it doesn't matter whether you're on 2 meters in California, and in which case, God help you, or 2 meters, 2 meters in Florida, or HF, you're being heard all over the world because of the technology and because of tourists. Tourists come to America from all over the world. And some of the complaints I get about repeaters in California or HF in South Florida, although that's cleaned up a lot apparently, come from foreign tourists who make complaints to us. You're being heard all over the world. And if you're on amateur radio and you're not enjoying it, use the VFO. And don't waste your time trying to talk sense into an operator who's bitter or angry or who hates everything and just wants to bitch. Just wait for them to die off. That's all you can do. Enforcement can't help you. I can't put a 70-year-old, we call them BOFs, in the Enforcement Bureau, bitter old, you can make up the last word. We can't put them under adult supervision. It's not in the rules. We can't make them a happy person. We can't convince them that the new park that's being built in their neighborhood wasn't built by socialist or communist. That it's not a plot to overthrow the government just because they're getting a new park in the neighborhood, and we can't be using taxpayer dollars to try to do that. Just wait for them. Do two things. Use the VFO. Wait for them to die off. Don't humor them. Don't give them a forum. Maybe Dr. Kevorkian will be out of prison soon. I think he got a 10-year sentence. When I listen to some of these people, the best remedy for them is Dr. Kevorkian. Just try to enjoy amateur radio, and that'll spread on the bands. Enthusiasm and happiness spreads. And you know, some things in life aren't done for money or greed. They're just done for the pure joy of doing it. People will say, well, you're preaching to the choir. I am in a sense, but you are the movers and the shakers of amateur radio, or you wouldn't have traveled to Dayton in the first place. So you're the only people that can do something about this. It's up to you to do it. We can't help you, and you're the only ones who can. You've got to, in that sense, police and regulate your own bands. And you have to take this advice seriously because you've got the power and the influence to make a difference. Finally, think about good amateur practice. A few years ago, I suggested 10 things to consider. I want to go over just a few of them very quickly, just a few highlights. They're still valid today. Good amateur practice is operating with the realization that frequencies are shared and there's going to be occasional interference, and that's no reason to become hateful and paranoid. I've seen the second case of the Maytag syndrome last week. We got a series of complaints from a person who thought he was the victim of deliberate interference. Turned out to be, to put it simply, the new Maytag washer in the room next door to the radio room. The control circuit in that was emitting a noise on 15 meters. We call it the Maytag syndrome. I won't embarrass the person by saying who it is, but I will say he worked for us. But I just had the same case, identical case, from a burglar alarm in a person's home that turned out to be that person's own burglar alarm. And it points out that we're very quick to judge, and when we hear interference, we're very quick to judge who it is and why they're doing it. And I've heard people talk about music on a certain frequency and why Joe Doakes was doing it and how they were going to retaliate, and I knew from the High Frequency Direction Finding Center that it was a broadcast shortwave station in South America on haywire. And within a couple of weeks, they can communicate with them and get it fixed. Good amateur practice means giving a little ground, even if you have a right not to, in order to help preserve amateur radio and not cause it to get a bad name. It means not acting like an idiot and making the problem worse and getting into an argument just because you were stepped on. It means we all love amateur radio, and why damage it just to save face? And the Orientals have a saying about Americans. It's called save face, lose butt. Because we're so sensitive and we're so concerned about getting the last word, the one-upsmanship, being right, that we'll save face and lose our rear end. It means being nice because one thing we don't need are more idiots on the radio. It means a lot of things that can't be quantified, such as respecting a band plan, because band plans make it possible for every mode to have a chance to experiment and prosper. It means operating so if a neighbor, niece, or nephew, or news reporter hears you, that person is impressed with amateur radio. It means every right carries responsibilities, and just because you have a right to do certain things, such as operate on a wider bandwidth, doesn't mean it's right to do it in every instance. And to some of you, I would say it means just because you haven't done a creative thing in amateur radio in 25 years, and you've been on the same frequency every day for 25 years, talking to the same people, most of whom are within 200 miles, that doesn't mean you own the frequency.
You're listening to a talk by well-known FCC enforcement guru, Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. We'll conclude this fourth and final excerpt from the 2005 Dayton Hamvention FCC Forum in a moment. You're listening to The Rain Report, available in broadband Windows Media Audio from rainreport.com.
You're listening to rainreport.com, the only authorized internet source for rain audio.
And finally, it means not operating so that whoever hears you becomes sorry they ever got interested in amateur radio in the first place. And that's the main one. I'm going to add another one, though. If you insist on getting on the air acting stupid and hiding behind a microphone, just go to Toys R Us and get your equipment. And then you can say, I saved a ton of money by switching my equipment to Toys R Us. And to those of you who are afraid that not having a code requirement will turn amateur radio into CB, and that's all of our fear, and the people in Bill's and my generation that came to the FCC, our standard is how bad the CB service was, because most of us were trained in CB in the early days. But I'll have to be honest with you, my problem children are advanced and extra, and they sound a lot worse than CB ever did on the tapes that I heard when I first came to the commission. So we've got to think out of the box and think into the future. The comparison with CB isn't a valid comparison anymore. We've got to look to the future. And amateur radio is more complicated now. This drawing a Colpitts oscillator circuit doesn't cut it anymore. Try to look at the schematic for some of these modern radios and tell me what it means. I don't get much past the plug-in part of it. Power supply. Get involved in the good things in amateur radio. And we can't all teach classes. That takes a special gift. We can get involved in emergency services. We can at least let our congressional delegation know what amateur radio is and make sure they understand the difference between amateur radio and CB. And if your congressional delegation, if your state and local entity, emergency services entity, doesn't know all about amateur radio, that's your fault, because you got to make sure that you have political clout. I have two articles I want to pass out to you. I brought 200 copies, which might be pretty close, 200 of each. But if you don't get one, just send me an email at fccham@fcc.gov. And we're trying to switch over to that email address so that more than one person could look at these complaints. FCCHAM@FCC.gov. These two articles, one was April 96 and one was January 2003. And it talks basically about how we can help the new people getting into amateur radio. And it talks about a statement made in 1920 about operating so as to attract new members and to attract beginners rather than repel them. One of them is by Dave Sumner. That's the April 96, and these are reprinted with permission of the League. The other one's January 2003 by Ward Silver, N0AX. I just want to read to you a little bit from that. Amateur radio is approaching its 100th year. Looking back, there have been four great upheavals. Spark to CW, CW to phone, homebrew to commercial gear, and now the ongoing integration of the radio PC internet. Each has been absolutely denounced as the end of amateur radio, but the service has survived and prospered in many ways. Currently, we're undergoing both a technological transformation and a demographic shift, making the necessary changes doubly important and stressful. A mature organization must continually renew itself in order to replace and expand members and accept in extraordinary circumstances. This requires moving beyond traditions and history. There's room for newbies and there's room for veterans. Let's lighten up and figure out how to help others enjoy it. That's all you have to do. And this is all about your problem. It's not about enforcement. It's about your obligation. Enforcement is to the point now where we can't help you a lot more. Bill has the tough job. He's the brains. All I do is shoot ducks in a pond. And we'll keep doing that for you. And there are more cases that we're working on, and you'll see that we're going to continue right on, and you'll see probably some reduced number of amateur enforcement news items, but basically it's going to be right up in there. But you've got to think about what you're going to do, and it's not about enforcement anymore. We've been going strong with you for about 6.5 years. We're going to continue, but look beyond that and see where you're going. We're at a crossroads here, and every single time amateur radio has been at a crossroads, it's thrived, and there's no reason it won't do so now. But it's not about enforcement. It's what you're doing. And think of one thing that you can do, as I've preached to you many times, and I know some of you are tired of hearing me. I'm certainly tired of hearing me. But there's one thing you can do for the amateur radio service if it's merely putting books in your local library. But it's all about you and what you're doing with it. It's not about enforcement. But I very much appreciate the huge level of support we still get, the continuing support. And you are indeed a self-policing organization. When we issue something, we know that we don't have to specifically follow up on it because we'll hear from you.
The candor of FCC attorney Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, as excerpted from his Dayton-Hamvention FCC Forum presentation. If you missed part one of his talk, you can still listen to it as last week's program on RainReport.com. Thanks to audio underwriting by CQ Communications, the Rain Report is copyright 2005 Rain. All rights reserved. I'm Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you all a very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network.